It's the kind of thing that you never forget. Peek behind the curtain with Truett.
I was so into our intro that I forgot my thing. Hello, you know, podcast listeners and Truetters and all those people out there. I'm Sam Lowes.
And I'm Rosie Burgess.
And welcome to Truett's the podcast.
Our special guest today is the darling of Australia's folk music scene. She's appeared on Rock Quiz, been shortlisted for the Australian Music Prize, and played just about every festival and venue Australia has to offer. From the dusty corners of the outback to the pulse of the metropolis, she's known, loved, and venerated by musicians and punters alike. Our special guest today is Liz Stringer.
Welcome, Liz.
Oh, thank you.
Huh?
Thank you.
How's that for an intro?
That was an amazing intro.
And it's true. It was an intro.
You're going to have to, obviously, you're going to rate our performance, you know, constantly, consistently throughout.
So far, so good.
Lots of people get the podcasters to rate, review and subscribe, and we're going to get you to do that before you leave.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, we feel pretty lucky to have nabbed you for a chat while you're in Australia, because you're not actually spending that much time in Australia at the moment.
No, I've been in Canada a lot. But yeah, it's I'm kind of living in two cities at once, which is a bit stressful, actually.
Yeah,
yeah. It's really interesting, but it requires a lot of organisation, which is stretching me.
Which two cities?
Melbourne and Toronto.
So which do you call home? Like, where? How do you? What, you know? What's happening in your heart?
Well, Melbourne, I think, is home.
Yeah.
Toronto is. I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of
hot.
Oh my god, it's so cold in winter. Oh my god, it was just it was brutal in winter. And I came back with a vitamin D deficiency.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think it. I was kind of going to the gym every day because you can't do anything outside. Like I kind of, you know, I like to run, and you can't do that. You can barely walk on the streets because it's so icy.
Really?
Anyway, and now it's really hot. You're right. So
you've got good winter gear then.
I did. I learned how to dress.
I think that is something that Canadians do so well. It's almost like in Australia, every time winter comes, we're all like, fuck, it's so cold, you know.
Yeah, everyone forgets what to do.
It's so unprepared. We're walking around in shorts and t-shirts going, so fucking cold. Like,
yeah,
we just have no idea.
Yeah, same with driving. When it rains, everyone forgets how to drive. Same thing.
Well, then it's the same with summer. Everyone's like, oh, fuck.
I know.
It's true. That's what happens every year since we were all born.
But not in Canada. They really like
they know their
on.
Seasons.
No, they do. And they still love being outside. You know, people are – heaps of ice skating rinks pop up all over Toronto, and people are outside, you know, like I don't know what you – I don't even know what you call half of the sports they do, but they're still really into it. And then, yeah, summer, as soon as you can go outside and not die from exposure, people are just outside all the time.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes it's minus 60 with a wind chill kind of thing. Why don't you swap your running for your ice skating? I could see you with a pair of skates.
Well,
and a hockey stick.
I don't know.
Got any snowshoes?
And a mask?
I don't have any snowshoes.
There's they're like tennis brackets that you stick to your feet.
When's your birthday? Right? I'll get you some.
Oh, well, it's coming up actually.
How about I buy you one and you buy the other one?
Yeah. Meet you halfway.
I mean, traveling, like you've obviously been doing a lot of traveling and you started traveling super young.
Yeah.
15 or something. You went over to Germany and started your first band.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, it's part of my job, obviously. But I do – what I like about it – I mean, I think I'm interested – even if I wasn't a touring musician, I think I would probably travel a lot, but it's great having – doing it with a purpose and, you know, kind of having access to communities that you otherwise wouldn't have. So it's kind of it's a necessary part of what I do, but it's also a part – probably one of the parts that I enjoy the
most.
Does
it inspire you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's also – a very humbling experience in the sense that it, you know, you quickly realize how narrow your experience of the world is due to, you know, where you grew up and where you live and who you know and what the people around you and you believe. You kind of create your own sense of the world and your community. And so every time I step out of it, I am acutely aware that there's a lot to learn from other people, you know. And that's been massive and sometimes challenging, you know, depending on some of the, like, you know, for example, some of the views that I've come across or whatever. But overwhelmingly, I find that the people are the same everywhere. People want the same things.
There's a diversity of views, like, everywhere that you go.
Absolutely.
In general, isn't there? I mean, you know, just in the hairdresser, people are having conversations and there are 10 different views going on.
Totally.
And you have to work out how to be tolerant, and not just tolerant, but how to try and see things from other people's perspectives.
Yeah. And to real, I think people, you know, after this recent election, it was, you know, I was really depressed by the outcome in a lot of ways. But I think, you know, the kind of social discourse now is really about sniping at each other over a fence, which is usually the internet. And really what people want is to be listened to and to be taken seriously and to have their needs and their feelings heard. And once we start shutting down each other's views, it very quickly degenerates into an argument that just becomes about holding ground as opposed to actually discussing things.
Yeah, it's like a polarized, you know, boxing match rather than saying, well, let me understand you and let you understand me and maybe we can find some middle ground.
Yeah, and let's have an argument about the argument, not about each other, you know, play the ball and not the man. And nobody likes being told that they're an idiot. You know, nobody's going to respond well to that. And I think
it's so true.
Is that what's going? That's why it's not working for me.
Well, I mean, you can't. It doesn't make any sense to expect to say to someone, "Well, you're an idiot. This is what I think." You know, as soon as somebody's been insulted, they shut down. So, you know, and I think with a bit of age and experience, I've learned to listen more. You know, touring's been a big part of that, just to kind of go, just shut up and just watch how other people do stuff and then, you know, try and think about it, come at it from different angles, not just your own.
I mean, Rosie made that point the other day about the election and people were all up in arms and all flailing around and having these giant opinions and being so incensed. And I love that you said that the other day. It's probably the best thing we can probably do from now on is actually just talk to people who didn't necessarily vote the way we wanted and seeing where they came from.
Totally.
And understand each other.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved you in that moment.
I loved you too.
Okay. Just saying.
That I think is one of the cool things about touring is that you do get to watch and see a lot. And I'm wondering, like, because you do travel by yourself quite a lot, you know, do you feel that you get more of a bird's eye view on things? I mean, I wonder if it's different traveling in a group, like a band, than traveling sort of independent.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Mm. And I, you know, I do probably about 70% at least solo. Just it's, you know, purely.
Well, just financial. You on the plane by yourself, no one else.
Yeah.
Welcome, Liz Stringer. No one to your left and no one to your right. Just
that,
how you like
that
it.
That would be awesome, actually. Yeah, that would be great. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the same as if you go to a, I don't know, if you go to a bar with a bunch of people, you know, the likelihood of somebody wandering up and engaging a whole group is pretty low. But if you're on your own, people feel more able to talk to you. And you're also, yeah, you're just there. There's nowhere to hide. And I say that in a mostly positive way.
Yeah.
You know, that is the hard thing sometimes on my own, I find. Because, you know, you're walking into these new situations constantly and with new people, and that requires a lot of energy. And so when, when you've been doing it a lot and you're fatigued, sometimes you wish you had like a really loud bandmate that would just take up
the space.
Yeah, take up the space so you could retreat a bit. And that's actually what I love about touring with other people, which I have done a lot of, but you're right, it's mostly
And do you feel like that you have less, I mean, you have more of a, your own opinion in things? Like, I know I'm pretty easy to feel, not feel like, you know, when you have some group of people and you feel like there's collusion almost, mm-hmm. you know, you, mm-hmm. you sort of, you, your own opinion about the world in that moment without anyone else's opinion sort of having any kind of bearing any weight on it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's an interesting point. And I think you naturally have behaved differently when you're with, again, like with a bunch of people from your mob, or, you know, like that's,
it does put a perimeter around you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that is, it sounds like it's a perk and a challenge.
Yeah.
All wrapped up in one.
Yeah, and I would say, like, generally it's a lot more fun to be on the road. And, I've been very lucky in that I've overwhelmingly toured with great people. I know most musicians have at least one nightmare to a partner that they've been on tour with.
Mm. Right.
But I've had a lot of luck with who I've been on the road with. And, like, that sense of camaraderie is very unique to touring as well. And I love that. But it's also, you know, it's a lot easier to just wrangle yourself and just be like, I'm going to leave at this time. I don't have to wait for anyone. Yeah, I don't have to.
There's no 15-minute call.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I love being at the airport by myself so much.
Oh, totally. Like, no, me too.
I just love it so much.
Well, I mean, we're going on Friday and
– let's go separately.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm going to leave 2 hours before you.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a little get to know you, Liz, section.
Okay.
What?
This or that. All right. It's called this or that.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a series of really fast-paced spitfire questions. Mm-hmm. I need you to answer definitively. You can't say, don't care, don't want to, okay. I don't know.
Okay.
It's one or the other. It should be one or the other, one or the other.
All right.
One or the other. Let's talk about that in our production.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Are you ready? Time starts now. Blinds or curtains?
Curtains.
Ooh. New York or LA?
New York.
Ooh, straight up. Drag king or drag queen?
Drag queen.
Marzipan or marshmallow?
Marzipan.
Marzipan.
Oh, that is such an old man. We'll get back to that.
But okay. I just like that you said marzipan.
Marzipan.
Yeah. Marzipan.
Who said marzipan?
You did.
Did I?
Yep. But marzipan. I said marzipan.
Marzipan or marshmallow?
You fixed it. Thank God for Liz.
Scrunch or fold?
Scrunch.
Collingwood or Geelong?
Geelong.
Ooh, straight up. That was definitive. Slip and slide or twister?
Slip and slide, definitely.
Masking tape or sticky tape?
Masking.
Hemorrhoids or gout?
Ooh, hemorrhoids.
Money or lots of money?
Lots of money.
Hemorrhoids are on your bum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And gout's on your foot.
A gout can be in a lot of different places.
Oh, really?
Have you ever seen someone with gout?
Yeah, I have.
It is.
It's like a sore. Oh, time's up.
I had so many good ones left.
Isn't gout like just a big sore foot?
I know exactly what it is. Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Gout.
It's a buildup of uric acid in your joints. And so the uric acid forms like basically crystals in your joints. And it's one of the most.
Very painful.
An ex-partner of mine had it and I've never seen anyone in more pain.
If you've just joined us, we're welcoming Dr. Liz in here to tell us a little bit more about gout.
Liz, hemorrhoids.
I would.
Have you met anyone with hemorrhoids?
Oh, yeah. Haven't really? You?
I'm not going to say.
I'm just saying, I feel like
she's
hemorrhoids
either outing me or outing herself.
Hemorrhoids are more easily treated.
Let's get back.
And you don't have to stop drinking booze.
True.
So, yeah.
True.
Oh, you have to stop drinking booze with gout.
Well, it doesn't help because it's so acidic.
Do you know, I don't think there's anything, there's not many things that that a doctor will say, nah, keep drinking.
Yeah.
Everything is better when you don't, apparently.
Well,
You think, Dr. Liz?
I would agree with that.
Well, you know, one says, come on, no, you need to have a few more glasses of wine.
What you want to do is
to fix that little thing up is a couple of glasses of red every night. Let's make it a bottle.
Sometimes they're like, are you like, oh, should I, can I drink on these antibiotics? And they're like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but,
you know. So
actually, there's a line in one of your songs, the first line in Warm in the Darkness is, I ain't too good when I'm sober.
Yes.
So you know a little bit about alcohol and music and, you know.
Yes. Well, I am now sober.
Mm. Like as in right now?
I've been this way for 2.5 years.
Right.
So I'm by no means a veteran, but I'm well into the race by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I do know. I knew a little too much about it.
Mm-hmm. How's it going now?
Great. I'm much much better than I used to be. But it's funny, you know, I think when you're in a situation, you can't, it's impossible to see it objectively. And I think in this industry, particularly, there are massive addiction issues.
Oh God! Well, it's so intermeshed, isn't it? I mean, so often you get paid. Part of your pay is booze.
Totally, and and you know, we all normalize it. You know, and now that I can see my behavior for many, many years in context, I see it a lot differently to how I did. So, yeah, my life is a lot easier.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jumping out and looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of looking in, you said about All the Bridges, your most recent album, that it's not that autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a really unusual thing, I think, for a singer-songwriter to say about their work. Do people expect the songs to be about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People assume a lot that they are.
Mm.
So, you know, I have songs where people are like, oh, I didn't know you were born in Brisbane, or I didn't know you had a kid, or I didn't. And I was like, oh, no, it's nope. I don't.
Nope.
But that's been a go-to for me for a long time, is to write other people's stories or to write about shared experiences from other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, I just I found that more interesting. But but interestingly, speaking about being sober, since getting sober, I've begun to write very personal first-person stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think I had access to that before, or it wasn't anything that I could. There was a lot between what was happening in me and it coming out as a song. There was a lot in the way.
Mm.
So I mean, some of it inevitably is partly autobiographical, but not. I've made a record. It's in just kind of sitting on the sidelines at the moment, but that's incredibly personal.
So that's going to be more autobiographical.
Yeah, like almost exclusively. Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I think everyone has their own, narrative style that they gravitate to.
Mm.
And mine has been for a long time other people's stories, because I find that kind of more interesting than talking about myself, or did.
If it will be different for you then, because as an artist people often offer up opinions about your work and about what you're singing about, and yes, you know, so maybe having the majority of your work being not so autobiographical in the past, maybe it will feel different. I wonder.
Yeah, I wonder that too. And you know, I think if I'm really honest, I think there's a new level of risk, for want of a better term, with this stuff that I've been doing recently, because I am in a way more connected to it or invested in it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I think still, aside from content, you know, the quality of the music and the storytelling still has to add up, you know.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be interesting.
Does it feel like an evolution? Does it feel like the next step?
Yeah.
Because I feel that, like, with your music, that is really, you really get a sense of that from album to album. There is the next evolution, the next evolution. And I mean, you know, people always say, oh, I like your old stuff better than your new stuff. For you, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like there's a, oh, I'd like this better than that.
Mm.
I just feel like it's all so you,
but
you can sense the evolutions in you, the turns in you as you go through your stages.
Mm, I can't wait to hear it. And I wonder if it's going to be called, like, you know, autobiography.
Just like, Liz.
I know a lot about gout. It's true. And people are like, do you? Yeah, this is about me. I know a lot about gout. Yeah. Not much about hemorrhoids, but I know a lot about gout.
But I have some people you could ask about hemorrhoids. That's right. Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah, I reckon, you know, in a way, I think because I haven't had like a kind of breakout hit or like an album that went that was kind of more successful than any other one. They kind of, you know, I've kind of had a pretty modest progression in my career, you know, and I think...
Oh, steady.
Steady, yes. Hmm. Yeah.
I don't think modest. I mean, no. You know, you are a household name on the folk scene.
Yeah, well, I think...
Maybe not in the pop rock scene or...
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. Well, I think because there hasn't been like a big record, quote unquote. I think that's allowed me a lot of allowed me to steer clear of a lot of that pressure of, you know, what are you doing now?
Do you feel that pressure?
No,
because you just get to set the
agenda, and ultimately, you know, I mean, I think there's a part of every artist that will balk at criticism and feel bad, but I mean ultimately, you know, I mean there's two things. One is that I'm not going to release anything that I don't think is good and that I don't stand behind, but also by the time you release a record you've moved on anyway, so it's like, you know, really it's I think I've been fortunate in that sense to not have been like, oh shit, I've got to recreate this or I've got to do this or I'm under pressure. Like people, you know, like there is no pressure. There's only perceived pressure if I perceive it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So the pressure we put on ourselves can be plenty.
Oh, totally. There's a lot of peas there. There's a pressure I perceive.
Well, you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to take the pressure right off.
Which is the lesser known John Farnham song.
And we're going to play this game.
Cop a feel, have a whiff. Cop a feel, have a whiff. Yeah.
As the wonderful song tells you, you're going to cop a feel or have a whiff of something.
Jeez.
And if you get it right.
Yeah, you get a prize.
You won't just be shortlisted for a prize. You're going to actually get.
My first ever music prize.
Exactly. And it's about fucking time you had one.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's 6 albums under your belt with no prize yet.
Oh, thanks, Rosie.
Well, that just blows me away. So we want to give you... A prize.
Yeah. So Where's it's not me? Like we've made this easy. This is probably one of the most difficult ones we've ever come up with. So we're going to put the blindfold on you right now.
Oh, this is really?
How's this feel?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
How's that feel now? Too anything. Tight?
Good, that's good.
All right, there's no blindfold, but you will have to close your eyes. So you have to decide, do you want a cop a feel or have a whiff?
Cop a feel. I have a terrible sense of smell.
Good, that works in our favour. Yeah. Excellent. Great. All right, okay. So Sam's going to put your hand into a bowl.
I'm going to move you.
We've really given you a really tame one. Yeah. You don't have to stress, promise. God.
But because this is listening pleasure, mm-hmm. you're going to have to describe it with your mouth, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to just describe what I'm doing.
Okay, so Sam's picking my hand up. She's putting it into... God. Oh, okay. Oh, is that cinnamon?
Oh, my God. Look at that. Winner.
Oh yeah, I would have got that if I'd whiffed it.
Really?
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, I just have a bad. I just can't generally smell stuff. So
that was like the.
That was
good.
Wasn't
good.
It? That was
guess
very
what's coming
good.
Your way.
This
a prize?
Oh, I thought I got the cinnamon.
No, you get a prize, and this game was really invented mainly because we loved giving people things, but also the prize is something that we don't want in our house anymore. Yeah. So
it's not. And I just want to preface because this particular prize is not a shit prize.
Okay.
It's just that we didn't need this.
Okay.
And
thank you. Should I open it? Right?
Yeah. Open it and describe. Yeah. Open and describe. Open and describe. She's opening the paper bag.
Oh, the Handy Science Answer Book.
Eh?
And it's got things.
I've tabbed a few things you might be interested in.
Killer bees.
Well, everyone needs
actually,
to know.
I like that. What are we giving that for?
It's a good book. Have a look at the pink tab.
Pink one?
Yeah.
Is, hang on.
The pink tab is flipping through.
Volcanoes?
No, bottom, where it's tabbed.
What is the difference between spelunking and speleology?
See?
Wow.
We feel like...
That is a good question.
There are so many questions that are going to be answered in here for you. You know, you've got a lot of time on your hands, flying places.
Possibly there's stuff about gout and hemorrhoids in there as well.
I also have a four-year-old nephew who I live with. So, boom. You know, he loves fact. Some of them might be a bit advanced. Although he does know so much about dinosaurs already.
I know. The amount of information about dinosaurs that's collectively held in the brains of children from the ages of, say, 3 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think it surpasses the internet.
Yeah.
It's just astounding.
Yeah. Our nephew, he couldn't say dinosaur. He said dasaur, but he could say archaeopteryx.
Yes.
I can't even say it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he could say paleontologist.
I know.
You're going to Canada soon then.
Yes, next week again.
How do you feel that Australia's music scene compares to what you're seeing around in Canada, Europe, you know, the places that you get to?
Well, I find Canada and Australia very similar, except, I mean, there are subtle differences. I think that I started playing in a band, started playing guitar for an artist over there, which was really great. And so through her and that band, I've met a lot of people, and I feel like I know a lot of people already. So I don't think – it's not like I know everybody, but it's not a massive – you know, I feel like kind of like here in related genres, you kind of know, and you know the people that are, you know, doing a lot of session stuff and touring a lot, and
it's a community.
Totally. And there's also a lot of driving, a lot more driving than here, because Canada is massive and so much bigger than here. So they're all road dogs, and you know, they're either still road dogs or they have been road dogs for years.
But, and obviously they are. You know, your music is being well received there.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I like the last kind of 18 months I've been there making a record and kind of setting stuff up. So I haven't played a lot. So it's not like I have a big fan base in Canada yet, but I feel like I've created a good base to, you know, for that hemisphere. And it's so cool being so close to hello.
Ruby.
She's sadly leaving.
She's done well though.
Chiming in. She's like, I don't want Liz to go.
Liz. Oh my god. You should see this dog. It's ridiculous.
I think she's brought you her bone. No, something worse.
Oh no.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for you then? As an independent musician, artist, you know, you're doing it your way, you're doing it independently, what represents to you the biggest challenge?
I think it's just it's resources. So it's, you know, having enough money, having enough energy yourself. It just you know, requires so much self propulsion, which, you know, for anyone is very difficult. And I don't know, I think artists in general, I think the cliche about artists being quite sensitive people is true. So it's a very hard line to tread between kind of business and art and creativity. And they can get, if they're not, in my experience, if they're not kept separate and compartmentalized, it can get very messy and very taxing emotionally.
So do you set those people up around you that, you know, can manage some of those things, your booking agents and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't have management at the moment, and what I'm realizing is that's, you know, the logistics are one part of it, but it's really having someone on the team that is as invested as you are that really can take some pressure off, and so you don't feel like, you know, if I have a week off, everything's going to fall apart, which it won't. But it, you know, there's and any self-employed person would understand that pressure. You know,
because there's that sense that you've got to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah,
you've
totally
got to be on that treadmill, spinning it round.
Yep.
And you know, you need to be responsive. And
otherwise the cash doesn't come through. Well, we've got another present for you. We've got $20,000. Liz, you win the prize. Oh, And then, imagine. Great button pushing.
Thank you.
Well done.
That's my new calling in life, is to be a button pusher. Actually, you've got a prize for us.
I do have a prize for you.
Oh yeah, it's time Hang to on. Play Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. That's this what is, this is called.
Can I'll just go and get my prize.
Go oh, get your prize. Okay. This is the most exciting part of the podcast for us.
We are very excited because let's just face it. This is the only reason we actually have the podcast, is so that we get a prize.
The prize just came to the table in a large bag.
Well, it's not that big. I haven't wrapped it, so I just want to be able to
reveal
it.
Do we get the bag? Because the bag's good.
Isn't it?
I love bag.
All right, so in this segment, I think I told you that you have to tell us something about yourself or an experience or whatever, and we have to guess if it's true or false.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to divine what we know from you. About whether, sorry to cut you off, Rosie. Let's cut each other off. You cut me off right
and
now.
And so we're going to.
I'm going to cut you off now. And do you know what's happening now? Because we just told you, but at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, great.
So we're not very good at this game.
Okay, so I have to tell you something and you have to decide whether it's true or not.
Yeah, yep, okay. True or false. Go hard, hit us with your best.
Okay. I forgot to think about this before I got here, but I have the perfect thing.
Okay.
All right, okay.
All right.
So I smoked a cigar with John Farnham on a speedboat on the Ord River in Kununurra.
okay, wait, no, true.
Western
no,
Australia.
Wait.
Kununurra.
What was John Farnham wearing?
He was wearing He was wearing like, I don't know how you, what you'd call it, like a short sleeved shirt.
Okay, that's
and
generally
kind of
what
white chinos or like cream chinos and
ooh,
shoes.
Ooh, that sounds really Johnny. Yeah. Cigar.
The cigar. Did you have the whole thing or was it like
I
a little
I didn't have
puffy
much
kind
of it. No, he was smoking it and I. And
did
he's
you
like,
inhale?
I just had a little puff, but I find them kind of gross. But
did
I was
he
just,
have the keyboard player with him?
No.
Oh, just him.
Was he singing?
Well, it was him and a guy from El Questro who was driving the speedboat.
What were you doing on the speedboat?
We were just hanging out because we were both playing a festival and we just got chatting.
It's true.
Wait. When he took the cigar, did it go out and then you gave it back to him and he was saying, "It'll burn for you."
There was no serenading, unfortunately. Oh. Yeah. But I did see him perform that night and it was amazing.
Okay. It's true.
It's true.
It's got to be true.
It's true?
It's not true.
Oh, you asshole.
But it's not far from the truth.
No, you
do you want to hear what the truth is?
Jesus Christ. We're so bad at this.
You were on a boat with a guy called Fon Janum and...
No, we did play a festival. We were on the same bill in Kununurra on the Ord and he arrived... on a speedboat and walked through these reeds on the side of the Ord like Jesus. And I did speak to some of his bandmates, but I didn't meet Johnny Farnham. But he was amazing.
You were able to imagine yourself taking that speedboat out together, smoking a cigar.
Yes, because
I'd
heard.
Come from?
Well, I'd heard because one of the guy who took him, he was staying at this beautiful camping resort, and one of the guys that took him out on the boat, that everyone there said he was such a legend, but apparently he was smoking a cigar at the front of a speedboat and the guy driving the speedboat kind of copped it all in his face. So that's where I got the cigar.
But it was so lovely because
Rosie
and I are big fans and
I love John Farnham.
Oh, we love singing John Farnham in the shower.
That's the classic spot for singing John Farnham.
Yeah. He is ripping. He's amazing.
Can we have the prize anyway?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so kind of guessed
I couldn't, it. I couldn't find anything. Well, no, I did find this. I last minute I was like, I'm going to give you this beautiful purple
mug. It's so
mug.
Wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Fine coffees roasted in Nelson, BC in Canada. Ooh. I got this from Artswells in Artswells Festival in
great
BC.
Great festival.
That was probably one of the last cups I ever drank booze from at a festival. So there you go.
Oh my God.
It's got my name on a shitty bit of sticker.
It's an oversized cup and Nico's Bliss Cafe, and it's got a picture of a bear on the front of it. And it says, I think the words used to say proudly serving. You can't read them anymore. Please reuse. Fine coffees roasted in Nelson. And I love Nelson.
We love it.
Nelson. Love
it's going to go in the cupboard.
Great.
With the other cups.
That's where
it's
we're
going straight in the cupboard.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about that first, about where we're going to put it. But I think Rosie's right. It's going to go in the cupboard.
Great.
Okay. Hey, so we're going to sing a song with you now.
Yes.
And
I didn't know, on the back, it's got Liz. It's got Liz written on there.
We'll just cross
we'll
that
just take
out.
That out.
Yeah, you can. We'll just write. Sam. You can just rip that bit of tape off. I don't mind.
Great.
No, we'll just cross it out. So we're going to sing a song with you.
Yes.
What song are we going to sing?
I think we're going to do anyone.
Mm-hmm. Just any one of them?
Yeah, anyone. Just any one of them.
Yeah. Okay, and that's from the album All the Bridges.
Yes.
Beautiful. Is there anything you want to say about the song before we sing it? You can say no.
No, I think we'll just get into it.
Let's just sing it.
Let's
great.
Do it.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. Okay. One, two, three.
It was early morning when I crawled to you. Sweeping the footpath with my shame. You opened up, I let you down. You followed me and we turned it round. That's the way you've always been my friend to me. I just want the best things for you, cause you're living harder. Your heart is larger than anyone. I just want you to tell me what I can do for you. There was heaviness in my heart for you. I wrote it with water on my hot blue stone. Your energy stretching off mine, make it rain when the garden's dry. Watch the weather sweep across the empty sky. I just want the best things for you, cause you're living harder. Your heart is larger than anyone. I just want you to tell me what I can do for you. I know that you'll rise up again, keeps your spirit stronger. You'll be fighting longer than anyone. I just want you to tell me what I can do for you. I just want you to tell me what I can do for you. I know that you rise up again, gives your spirit stronger. You keep fighting longer than anyone. I just want you to tell me what I can do for you. Do for you. Do for you. Do for you.
Our special guest today was Liz Stringer. For more Liz goodness, you can head to lizstringer.com.
And if you like what you hear, please subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. Go ahead and like, share and swish on all the social media platforms. You could even leave us a review if it floats your boat. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Tuck Shop Ladies.
Tuck Shop Ladies are Sam Lowes and Rosie Burgess. You can track us down for more tasty treats at tuckshopladies.com.
Thank you. Have a happy day.